The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
What's going on, listeners? This is Kyle Davis of the NWA, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. You're making smart choices. Thanks for doing that. I need you to do it. Follow me. Follow them. We got this, baby.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
I fucking jinxed myself, and I knew I was going to do it. I foresee it. I was talking about it on the show. When I cut the mic off, I said, watch this shit fucking happen to me. And sure enough, it happened. So about a week ago, I was discussing the situation that occurred with Big E. You know, unfortunately, landed on his head. Thankfully, there was no paralysis. There was no breaking of the neck. It seems as though that he just had a severe strain. He's in the streets right now, walking and talking, doing his thing, keeping positive and all that. And in this conversation, I talked about how to take falls, to take bumps, to do certain things, you have to learn how to fall, how to take a certain degree of impact when you're falling. Even if it's out of the blue that it happens that you're falling, you just learn how to roll. You know how to, land on a certain body part. You find a way to do that depending on the circumstance. I'm not going to say it's 100%, but, if you've been trained, like I say, in gymnastics, wrestling, or, martial arts, whatever the case may be, you learn a certain type of way of falling. No sooner than I said that, like I said, the mic cut off, and I said, watch me bust my fucking ass. I said, watch me fall. I knew it was coming. Reason why I say is because I've had this nagging injury for years. This is when I played sports and such like that. Now, mind you, playing sports, you're bound to get injured somehow. But in my quote-unquote career, I didn't really have anything that severe, breakage of arms playing football, breaking legs, stuff of that magnitude. I was more inclined to severe sprains. I think the most severe injury, I was like a dislocated finger where my finger busted open and the bone basically was coming through the skin. The hell is that going on outside? It sounds like I'm fucking middle of Afghanistan. I don't know what the fuck is going on there. So, I've had, busted head, busted lip, stuff like that. And stitches in my head and shit. But nothing too crazy. But the one thing that I've always had was that I would roll my ankles. I've had weak ankles for years. And this is going to be probably the fucking reason why when I get older, the bone deficiency is going to hit there first. And that's how I'm going to take my spills. I'm going to fucking fall the wrong way and, do a Scott Hall and crack my fucking hip or some shit. Because I've had weak knees, especially my left knee. My left knee, just when it wants to go, it'll just go, well, fuck it, and just fall out. It'll just have its own moment. So today, I took a walk to my local print shop where I do my business cards, I get shirts done and such. And now they just recently moved. They were up the block from my house. Now they're just a few blocks more. It's a couple of more blocks away from, a couple of blocks more up from where I live. And, I went to go check in, see how they're doing. I was ready, wanted to let them know that I'm about to put an order in, and I want to put some stitching on my jersey. Because I have a jersey that doesn't have my name on the back. I don't want to put, lettering and name on my back. So I just wanted to get a quote. So, I'm walking out the place, and mind you, once again, this thing just happens out of nowhere. And it's not that, it wasn't an instance to where I stepped on a crack, or I came off a step wrong, or there was a weird kind of landing, that I didn't notice or something like that. No, it just fucking happens. So there is a small step that comes off of, but it's hardly noticeable. And I knew it was there. It wasn't like I ignored that there was a small step. I knew it was there. But when I go to step off it, like I said, I mean, less than an inch is as high as a step. It's less than an inch. When I go to step off, my leg, my ankle just decides to just roll on itself. And as soon as this occurs, I'm already going down. I have my Bluetooth headpiece on and I'm just like, holy shit, on my way down. And it's funny when you realize when you're falling, and especially if you're trying to fall gracefully, as you may say, or try to brace yourself for the fall, you kind of fall in slow motion. So knowing that this was happening, I just began to, you know, brace myself, get my hands up, get my body right, ready to fall on a certain body part. I was going for the shoulder and my side, like my hip piece, whatever. And it just was gone. Done. I hit the floor, bounced back up, of course, because, you know, the adrenaline just kicked in. And I already felt the throbbing in my ankle. And mind you, I was going to go walk another 5 or 6 blocks to the shopping district because I wanted to pick up some stuff. Well, that was done. I said, fuck this. I'm going back home because I got to wrap this bitch up now. But I was so fucking pissed because I said, I knew this was going to happen. I knew it. It is the klutz that I am. I'm fucking clumsy. And this happens to me at least once a year. Ever since my teenage years, I roll my fucking ankle. And I do, and this happens. Or I fall. I'm coming down the steps the wrong way. Or not even the wrong way. Just going down the steps. And all of a sudden, you know, that's sometimes I work with super producer Sally and I'm walking and my ankle will just, whoa, and she goes, you're okay? And I go, yeah. That could have been bad. But it's, and mind you, never had a break, never had a tear. It's always been just soreness, sprained, and just that. Even right now, I'm sitting here recording and I hear it click. I'm just hearing it click. And it's like, but it's not like I can't walk on it. I can walk on it, you know. Put the ace band on, tie that bitch up. And that's the word, guys, if you've ever learned anything, if you want to learn anything about, especially with your ankles, and if you're going to sprain something, getting swelling, tie that bitch up quick. Make sure you get an ace bandage or you have a brace or whatever the case may be and to keep the swelling down. Tie that bitch up quick. The immediate reaction that people do is when they, especially if they have sneakers on, and sneakers on tight, that they want to take the sneakers off and show. No, keep them on. Especially, even if they're a little bit loose, tighten them up quick. Get to where you got to go to. If you're able to walk, like you know it's a sprain, just tie them up quick. Get into a spot, get an ace bandage, get a brace, whatever the case may be, and wrap that fucker up quick. It's a stability, and the swelling will stay down. So, like I said, I know this for years and years of fucking twisting my ankle. But other than that, welcome everybody to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I am your host, Mr. Ear to the Mac, the King of Talk Sal, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Red Santee. Be sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the like and group page on Facebook. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And as always, be sure you check us out on YouTube and on TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Be sure you download, subscribe, stream, be a part of the show, download the episodes at all podcasting outlets, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, wherever you can find us, we're available. Just put it on your search bar, Turnbuckle Tabloid. We are there for your pleasure. And as always, if not, you can always go to the family at RageWorksNetwork.com. RageWorksNetwork.com has all the podcasts that are available to you that is connected to the RageWorks family. Black is the New Black, Toys and Techs, Trek Untold, much, much more, guys. So don't go anywhere if you want to hear the best and the latest of what's going on with the people that happens to be from the RageWorks family, go to RageWorksNetwork.com. And always check out RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net has everything under the sun that you want that comes to light when it comes to everything that's happening in pop culture. We have video games, movies, TV shows, comic books. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. Toys, it's all there. Right under your nose, right on your screen. Just, you know, the articles are there. Reviews, previews, upcoming contests, whatever's available for your love and passion for pop culture. We do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. Right now my TV's on and I have it on this. They have it's a simulation football league. It's basically a video game that's being simulated, and they have I forgot the esports channel, some shit like that. I came across this not too long ago. They playing the last 2K football game, but not the NFL one. I think it's the All American, whatever the fuck it was called, with the generic football teams and shit. But it's actually pretty fun to watch. I get involved in it. I'm like, holy shit. And they have like the fake players, but they give them a history. They say that, you know, they're the MVPs of the league. It's actually pretty fun. You can actually get them on YouTube as well. Simulation Football League. I'm not getting paid to say that, but yeah, check it out. So this past week had a good time talking to Kyle Davis, the director of operations and announcer from NWA. Be sure you check those guys out. This weekend, the Crockett Cup is happening. Card is stacked. If you don't know anything about the Crockett Cup, it's a historical event that happened many, many years ago. Billy Corgan and those guys over there, William Patrick Corgan and those guys over there, have brought it back a few times. It became a yearly event with them the past couple of years. It's basically a big tag team tournament for, you guessed it, the Crockett Cup. So, guys, check it out. It's a two-night event, and you can get it at Fight TV. Their package is actually pretty good. If you pay $49.99 for the year, you get everything. You get their weekly shows. You get pay-per-views. You get all that all in one shot. It's much cheaper. It's like $100 less than what you would pay if you would buy it every time they pop up. So check those guys out at NWA Wrestling. Good luck to those guys this weekend. Other than me spraining my ankle in my annual thing, here's another annual thing for you guys. It's the 5-year anniversary of Turnbuckle Tabloid. Stop, please. We don't need this. Stop. Oh my goodness. I know. It's amazing. 5 years, ladies and gentlemen, of me sitting here complaining, arguing, and being opinionated about half-naked people who are just being someone other than themselves. But we love it. This is why you listen. This is why you're part of it. This is why many of you guys tune in and complain and have the same gripes or share different opinions about the sport that we all love. I mean, honestly, it's a 5-year run. I'm going to go more in-depth with the 5 years, as well as possibly have some other individuals come on and talk about the 5-year run. Hopefully we can get an Oski to sit in with us and discuss his thoughts about what happened in the past 5 years. And probably make it like the State of Wrestling address. Usually around this time I would do the State of Wrestling address, and maybe we would do it that way as well. So let's see how that goes. But other than that, I got a lot on the table this week. Been trying to crack down on this WWE 2K22 game. I finally finished up on the showcase mode. Been tinkering around with the creative creations. And I'm most likely going to give a review next week. Well, next episode. Next episode, most likely I'll give you guys a full review of it. But I have to tell you, so far, I'm loving it. I think I've found my love of wrestling video games again. Granted, there have been some games out there that's been really good. The Retro Mania has been good. Of course, Fire Pro. I've been playing Wrestling Empire as well. I've been seeing for a while on the Switch. But on this level, to come back the way that they did, yeah, we might have a winner here. We might have a winner. So we'll talk about that next episode. When we come back, we have much to talk about. Wrestling Rundown is jam-packed. I usually get nervous because it gets around Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'm sitting here like, ah, fuck. Maybe I'm about two or three stories, and I'm like, ah, fuck. I'm gonna have to fucking bullshit this one. But just filibuster and just try to make something out of nothing happen. And all of a sudden, bang, 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 bang. News article after news article after news article. So we'll touch base on that soon. We got Wrestling Rundown as well as Around the Square Circle, what we watch, what we listen to, what we partook in this week in wrestling. This week we had the AEW Dynamite, which their main event was the Women's Championship match. And you might be surprised with the stuff I got to say about that match. So tune in for that. Other than that, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Enjoy the 5-year birthday of Turnbuckle Tabloid. We'll be celebrating. Usually we would have cake, ice cream, some punch, maybe play pin the tail on a donkey, having a clown come in making balloon animals and shit. But nope, this time around we're flying solo. But that's okay. We'll still make it fun, ladies and gentlemen. I'll have the beers on tap, as I always do, and let's get it cracking. Guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We will return. Check you guys in a second. Yeah, that's what's up.
Yo, what up, yo?
Yo, that was a shorty on the phone. So she's coming through tonight for some WWE Network and Slam.
So what?
WWE Network and Slam.
Don't you mean Netflix and chill?
Nah. I ain't down with that shit. But yo, shit is that she want to come to the crib and get lit up, you know what I mean? But yo, I ain't get my check until the end of the week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, wait a minute. What are you drinking?
Oh, this man, shit. This is my shit right here. This old St. Heineken.
Old St. Heineken? What the fuck is that?
Yo, son, this is that shit right here. Tell me right now, if she drink this, swear to you, gonna be slamming that ass by the time WrestleMania 3's main event pop off. You know what I mean?
Let me taste that shit.
Yeah.
Yo, did you put this bottle in your ass? This thing tastes fucking disgusting.
Yeah, but I tell you something right now. If she drink this shit, you gonna be tasting some ass.
Alright, I'm gonna go cop that right now. Old St. Heineken. That do right there. Old St. Heineken. That drink will get you fucked up.
This advertisement was brought to you by Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Yo, this is Gabe Sky, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santy.
Live from New York,
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Surprise, surprise. Guess who we have in the building, ladies and gentlemen? Woo-wee! Celebrating the 5-year anniversary of Turnbuckle Tabloid, we get one, the only, one of the creators of Turnbuckle Tabloid. He is back in the building. It's Whole Milk Mike.
What's going on, everybody?
Fucking ass. Oh, man, it's fucking Oski. My guy is in the building.
Yeah.
5 year. I had to come for the 5 year. Come on. You really thought I was going to miss the 5 year anniversary?
Yes, I really do. I thought you did.
All the listeners are probably like, yes, we did not expect you to show.
No.
Who are you again? It's like who is this? Matt.
Matt who's it what now? Oh, okay.
Yeah. How's it been? How's the show been, man? How's Turnbuckle Tabloid been since I've been gone in Central Florida?
Oh no, it's okay. I mean it's been fine. Got a guy from NWA who could been on the show. That was kind of we're sponsoring a match, Project Wrestling for TJ Marcona and those guys.
That's pretty big.
Man, everything's all right. Nothing crazy.
Wow, that's a big deal, man. I mean,
if you say so. I don't know. It's been all right.
It is a big deal. That's awesome. I mean, you gotta plug it in somehow. Shit. I mean,
it's
all right. That's awesome, dude. I'm very happy to hear that Turnbuckle Tabloid is thriving. A sponsorship for a match is a big deal. Make sure to go check it out, guys. TJ Marconi's new project, Code Wrestling. I think that's the gimmick, right?
Yeah, Project Wrestling.
Wrestling. That's awesome.
Project Codename Wrestling. It's
I know it's a big deal for the show, and I know we have a great backing, and I know it's in good hands. So, shit, I miss this sometimes. You know what I'm saying? There's some times where I read some news articles, and I'm like, fuck, give me a mic, please, give me 5 minutes, and I will flame this shit.
Yeah, you tend to hit me up and ask me about certain things and shit like that, and my thoughts about
it. Yeah, because I don't watch, just because you know, I don't watch like I used to. I'm still in the times with the news. You know, Wrestling Rundown was the Robin Quivers. So
the Robin Ophelia Quivers.
Robin Ophelia Quivers. So there's still times where I'm like, fuck, give me a microphone, give me 10 minutes, I'm gonna go off on this shit. And I think the main event for Wrestling Rundown this week is a pure example of that. So we'll get into that.
Yeah. But other than that, man, how's your time in Florida? How's it been going?
Florida's great, man. Disney is an awesome company to work for. I am truly, truly grateful for the opportunity. The tips are great. The resort I work in is fantastic. The food, the shit, the beignets are great.
What the hell is a beignet? A beignet
is like a, it's the same thing as a funnel cake, but it's like the shape of a Mickey beignet. Like
270 pounds.
Basically, it's like a donut, but it's like, it's a donut with no hole in the middle, and it's the shape of Mickey, and usually it's something in New Orleans that's a very popular dessert down there because it has powdered sugar on it. And because our resort is New Orleans themed, we have the beignets.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of that, we just came out with a new menu for it. And get this, they came out with an oyster po' boy sandwich with the buns being beignets. I'm like, okay.
Oh man, that sounds delicious.
Don't know. It looks good. I'll try it one day. But so Disney's great. I mean, I found a lady down here, so thriving.
Here he goes.
I got a new car is coming soon. I got. I hope you guys are proud of me. I'm paying rent. I'm paying rent on time. I'm cooking my own meals. I'm using Red's specialty seasoning. So I'm adulting, man. It's great.
I'm paying rent, just to let you guys know. I'm paying rent.
Listen, if you weren't paying rent, we'd be really concerned where you are. Yeah,
exactly.
As you hear the cars pass, beep, 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 because I'm fucking sleeping on the fucking street.
I'm paying rent. You know, it's only about free from living in a cardboard box. There's nothing wrong with that.
No biggie. It's fine. Spare change, ma'am.
Do you see the shared screen I sent you?
Yeah, that's cool. What is this? This is live?
Yeah, that's live.
Oh, shit. We got the Briscoes versus...
Doug Williams. And
Doug Williams.
Yeah.
Is that Davey Boy?
Yep.
Davey Boy, really? He went from WWE to goodbye real quick. He didn't even fucking return.
Yeah, that was that. That was... who the fuck knows? Who the fuck made that signing?
I don't know. But yeah, I'm doing great. And if anyone asks... Does Red and Matt still talk? Does Jay and Matt still talk? It's like, yes, we do.
Yeah. And unfortunately.
Family always. And hey, who knows? Maybe one day I'll get the love for wrestling again and make time to come on here more often. It's still hard for me to watch, but I'll address that later. But I think we have some news to talk about, don't we?
Sure. And as always, I am the Howard Stern in this segment. So my Robin Ophelia Quivers Oski, but Oski, I'm taking it away.
Perfect.
So breaking news, everybody. This is sad. We were just gifted with this present that was provided to us, but apparently Thunder Rosa has to vacate her championship.
Oh, I saw that. Yes, that's the WOW championship, right?
You didn't even like get anybody scared. They're like, ooh, she has to vacate the AEW title. No, it's the WOW championship, ladies and gentlemen.
No, yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm rusty. After her AEW Women's Championship win, it seems like she'll have to give up every other belt because she has to stay true to the brand.
Yeah, apparently it says that since now you're the AEW champ, bitch, you can't do nothing for nobody else. So you gotta.
Isn't that hypocritical though? There's got to be champions in AEW like that were also champions in other brands. Like, well, wasn't Kenny Omega a AAA trucking champion when he was the AEW world champion? So how does that make any sense?
Well, she had the title for like 2 years, and plus WOW isn't really doing anything, so you might as well just like vacate the title. I mean, what more are you gonna do?
I guess, but it would have been cool with her like two belt Thunder Rosa. I don't know. That's weird. Especially for AEW being known as such a like a. Was it her decision or AEW's?
I think it was from her and WOW itself. Because since WOW is supposed to be doing a resurgence, so it's better that she drops it so they can now crown another champion. So who the fuck knows?
Do you have to ask permission from you?
That was a pretty good match. I actually did watch it. And, on to bigger and better, I guess.
All right.
Do you have to ask permission from your father-in-law first?
Yes, he does! Yes, he does!
Charmel is being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Who?
Charmel is being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Who the fuck is that? Nah, I'm kidding. Hey, Queen Charmel, that makes no sense. At all. She wasn't even a wrestler.
She was a valet.
And? Like, I don't understand.
Who's next?
Like,
Deborah? Is Deborah coming in, or is she already in the Hall of Fame? I don't think Deborah's in the Hall of Fame.
Bro, like, you could have thought of anyone else. You couldn't even put Michelle McCool. Oh, no, is she already in there?
No, she's not, actually.
You could have done that and have, like, the wife and Taker be in the same class.
Right, in the same class.
No, you put Charmel. That was probably the worst pick. That I would have picked Jillian Hall over Charmel because at least Jillian Hall had a funny fucking. You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes no sense. I saw that and I was like, why? Is it because they're in Texas and because Booker T's already in?
Yeah.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Is that why? It's just a weird thing. I am excited to watch the Hall of Fame this year though, because I know Vince is actually going to
induct the Taker,
so like that's actually gonna be pretty cool, because that's enough. We rarely see Vince go shoot like on the mic and stuff, especially on a show like that. So
I think it's
dumb as shit, but what do you think about it?
First thing I want to say is I don't usually get on the mic, and the last time I was up here, I was inducting Steve Austin, but I had to come up here to induct Mark. Mark is a very special individual to WWE.
I love him. He's a son to me.
I love that.
A son that's the same age as me.
He's like the
son. That's pretty much the same age as me, and
He's like the son I never had. And wait, what? I do have a son.
Wait, what?
I have a son.
I do. You,
Shane.
Not anymore.
I have a son.
Wasn't he fired? Wasn't he fired from the company?
I have a son named Shane. Really? What? Wow.
Who's that?
Wow. Who knew? Who knew I had a son named Shane? Any case, Mark, I love him as a son that I never had. It's like,
right?
Oh, fuck.
So weird. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just a really dumb. I think it's a really. I think it just shows how poor they book women, that they can't even, like, Michelle McCool. What other woman do you think could have been inducted instead of Charmel? I think Michelle McCool, 100%. I know the Bella Twins are already in there, so they can't. Beth Phoenix, is Beth Phoenix in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, she's in. She's in.
Fucking, we're going real slim here, but honestly,
Melina.
Honestly, that would have been better than Charmel.
AJ Lee, you could put her in.
Yeah, via satellite. Oh, she didn't show up. All right. I mean, via cardboard cutout. AJ Lee. Dumb.
Yeah, it's getting really thin when it comes to the women's side. Oh, Layla. They could have inducted Layla.
Layla. Yeah, it's getting real thin when we put Charmel. I'm just saying.
All right.
18,000 people calling you an asshole.
So apparently Joey Janela is done with AEW. Seems as though that there's been some indiscrepancies coming with the reason why he's done and how his he was taken in the locker room. Apparently there was some discussion in which that he was deemed unsafe even after his All In match, which basically kicked off the AEW era, but he was still deemed someone that was tough to work with. As per Janela, he said there was a lot of people in the back who were saying that when he injured Eddie Kingston in a match, it's pretty much cemented his fate with the company. Do you think
that? Who, Janela?
Yeah.
When he injured Kingston?
Yeah, he had injured Eddie Kingston in a match.
I think. First off, I'm not surprised. You know something, Janela. I'm not surprised. Secondly, I am expecting the first wave of people to not get contract extensions. There are already discussions on Facebook I'm seeing of a group of talent. I think Marco Stunt's in there, Sonny Kiss, Joey Janela.
Well, Marco's going to The Voice.
Oh, he's going to sing on The Voice, right?
Yeah. Apparently, he has a voice of an angel.
Oh, well. He can't wrestle like one, so. Whatever. Please, we've seen Marco live. He's a gimmick, and that's it. Yeah. I mean, no offense to the guy, but come on. But there was rumors that, like, there's a group of people who won't get contract extensions. I'm surprised they extended Brian Cage a year. That doesn't make any sense, but you know.
Well, I was even surprised that Peter Avalon is still there.
Yeah, I think he's Tony Khan's bar hopping pal or something. There's some connection there.
His cocaine connect or some shit.
His coke connect.
Allegedly.
But I think Joey Janela coming out with this statement that he's not coming back was him being the punch of the news article that states Joey Janela has been released by AEW just so he doesn't look stupid.
Right.
I feel like he knows it's coming. I feel like he probably already has discussed that it's coming once his contract is over. So he wants to look good. And
well, he's already got. Listen, when I went to the Hall of Fame for Homicide, when I was there with GCW, he was like involved. I mean, like you could see that he was like a backstage. He was a backstage guy. Like he was helping to move the show along and shit like that. So he's pretty much invested with Brett and all those guys over there. So I think he already knows what was going to be his next gig.
Also, I want to give a quick shout to Homicide because he won the NWA Junior Heavyweight Championship tonight.
Yes!
NWA!
Yes! Yes!
Big shout out to him.
And
boy. Shout
out to Homicide. Today's his birthday too, so he won a title on his birthday.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you know I had to win the junior heavyweight championship on my birthday. You know, now I'm gonna go get fucked up. I'm gonna go get a blunt. I'm gonna get high and shit. Get fucked up. I did the impression for the guy and for Kyle Davis at NWA. He goes, "Holy shit, that's good."
I'm gonna drink some Henny and eat some Sour Patch Kids because I heard that you're really crazy high, yo.
Nah, because you know I gotta go back home and I can't get too fucked up, yo. It's crazy, yo. So yeah,
wife, congrats, you know what I'm saying? The wife and the kids, you know what I'm saying?
So congratulations to him and next article. Big E apparently is already on the road to recovery, man. Shit. It seems as though that,
I thought he was retiring.
No. It seems like he's already on the road to recovering. Thankfully, as we spoke about before, he, look at this. The Briscoes win the Crockett Cup, and it looks like they're about to drink fucking beer out the shit. Seems as though that he like I mentioned earlier, he didn't have a severe break of his neck. He had a heavy stress fracture of his C6, and everything seems all right. He's already out the hospital. He's walking. He's in high spirits. He's looking well. Although there is a doctor that said that in an injury of this magnitude, it's highly unlikely that he does not come back to wrestle. So, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say, come back to wrestle, man. Yo, we're hoping that you do come back. Just hoping you're healthy, you're happy, and you have an opportunity to do things in life. And so far, everything's on the up and up for him. So
It's possible that he may never wrestle again?
Right. As per this doctor that worked with the WWE before, they're saying that an injury of this magnitude, usually it's tough to come back from.
Ed did it.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll see.
I think Big E will be back. And honestly, like, I hope he comes back and gets a major push, because I think his WWE championship run sucked ass. Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I am the best in the world at what I do.
That's weird hearing Chris Jericho like that. But by the way, I'm not going to be here for a round of squared circles, so I just want to hear your opinion on this real quick. What do you think of the whole sports entertainer gimmick that they're doing in AEW with Jericho?
Oh, you hear the drops?
I heard that one.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Okay.
I heard it from a distance, but I heard it.
I think the heat is good. I think the gimmick is stupid.
Really?
Yeah, I think the heat is good. I don't mind the whole sports entertainer thing. But not even the heat. I hate the faction name. I think it's dumb. And I think the guys that he picked is even fucking worse.
I like Daniel Garcia's picking, but 2.0, nah.
I would have not put him in that group.
Daniel Garcia?
No, I would have not done that.
Who do you think, what young stars do you think? Because, like, I mean, that's obviously the idea here. You have some young guys to, like, to have this, they're not the same, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Who do you think would have been the filler for that then? I know we're going off our article here, but I need to talk to you about that on here, because I know I'm not going to be here for around the squared circle. So.
Yeah. No, I look, right now, even the pairing I'm seeing with Bryan Danielson and Moxley, I'm like, that shit is dumb. I'm not a fan of that.
I like the Regal manager. Regal should be Bryan Danielson's manager alone.
Yeah, but you know, even so, I would have thought that Garcia would have been fit better for that. I'm just not. I'm not because now they're gonna scout Wheeler Yuta. Really?
Oh boy, yeah, that's dumb.
Really?
Are they seeing something in Wheeler that I don't? Because
I guess so. I guess as for Jericho's thing, I wouldn't have taken those guys. I maybe anybody else that's free there. I just wouldn't have taken them. I think they were getting heat on their own, and to pair them up with Jericho, I don't see it. And the Jericho Appreciation Society, it's fucking stupid.
I think it's a very Japs. Cool name.
Japs. Fuck, that's the abbreviation you want to put it as. Japs. It's fucking dumb.
Are you mad about this?
No, I just think it's stupid. Like I said, I like the heat with the sports entertainer thing. I'm cool with that. That works. But as for
we beat up professional wrestlers.
Because I am a sports entertainer. I mean,
It's a logical heat, especially since AEW prides himself to be wrestlers. Because I feel like
it works.
Yeah, no, that works. But I just I'm not a fan of the faction.
I feel like everyone's hyping up his promo. They were like, "Oh, that was so badass, yo."
Yeah. No, not really.
Did you get badass vibes off his promo?
No, not even close. But speaking of wrestling, seems this is lined up that we're getting Killer Cross versus Suzuki and New Japan Strong.
I saw.
That's going to be badass.
I wish Killer Cross the best, but I'm scared.
Why?
I'm scared that it's going to go really bad for him. And I think he'll be in WWE back again in a year.
Listen, I'm not going to disclose. I will not. And I mentioned it in the previous episode. I will not disclose a conversation we had because it was off the record. And mind you, I didn't really have the longest conversation with him. Actually, brother AJ and Homework were having intense conversations.
That's AJ's name on this. I was about to ask him to give a nickname yet.
Brother AJ.
Brother AJ, there you go.
They were in full conversation mode. Oh God! And you know what? Awesome, because he was so cool with them, man. And I said, out of a lot of people besides people that we consider family that are wrestlers to the show, he was probably one of the coolest fucking wrestlers that we've met. Real good guy.
Killer?
Yes.
I've heard nothing but good things about him.
Really good. And like I said, not to expose anything, because like I said, it was a lot of stuff off the record, but I can't say that he did not have any ill or bad things to say about WWE. He didn't. And especially, wow. Triple H. especially Triple H. I asked him directly, if the door opened up again, would you go through it? And he says, yeah, I might do it.
I don't blame him.
But yeah, really good guy. So hopefully, I get to see him tear it up with Suzuki, because Suzuki's one of my guys.
I wish him the best, dude. I mean, it's gonna be a good match. Suzuki's awesome, and I'm excited to see what it brings, man.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly. You're gonna love this story. What the fuck are you doing over there?
Sorry.
The hell are you doing?
Sorry. I had an emergency in my bathtub. I had to clean something.
Oh, the fuck? You took a shit in the tub?
Something was foaming up. Sorry.
What the fuck? You was taking a shit in the tub? What the fuck are you doing?
Nah, I was. You know the spray you put on the tub and then you leave it there, like the scrubbing bubbles?
Right, right.
I did it, and I forgot to go clean it, and so it got all foamy. And I was like, no!
That's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to get foamy.
No, but it got foamy, but then, like, it was there for quite a while, and I forgot about it.
Oh.
So. All right, I'm back.
So, you're going to love this story. Apparently, there's some wrestlers who donated to Drake Wirtz's fucking political campaign. Seems as though our guy that we know as Drake Younger as a wrestler, you know, your favorite topic of conversation where we spoke about him, seeing though that he's
I find it funny how I've been gone for months, and the one time I'm back, this douchebag's back in the news.
Oh yeah, but apparently a few wrestlers have donated to his upcoming state senate run in your state. Now he's running for state senator for Florida.
If he wins, I'm leaving. If he wins, I move.
I'm moving to Louisiana.
If he wins, I'm moving back to New York.
So. Wrestlers such as Elias and Matt Riddle have donated.
Matt Riddle? Matt Riddle is not Republican.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't know, dude.
Are you gonna fucking are you gonna make legal weed in Florida, man?
Listen. As long as you legalize weed, I'll support you, dude.
Hey, Randy. We're going to donate to Drake Wirtz's Senate run, because he said he's going to legalize weed.
No, my God, that actually breaks my heart a tad. Elias, I could care less about, but Matt Riddle, the man I interviewed at House of Glory before he became famous, wink. that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And, come on, bro. What the fuck are we doing, bro?
I want to find out who else donated to that shit.
Do you think they supported him out of friendship or like?
He's always been a bud, man. He's always been a good bud. Bud and weed, it goes hand in hand. It's the same thing, right, Randy?
I really hope that it's more of like a me and Drake are really good friends, politics aside, and I'm just helping my boy out. Because if it's policies, then Riddle is tripping. Like, nah. Riddle is riddling issues over here. Look at Jeff Jarrett as the ref. Look at this.
Look at fucking look at that robe that Cardona has. Nice.
I love how they have Jeff Jarrett of all people. Like, gee, here we go. Oh boy. Well, yeah.
Stupid.
Dickwad. He's a douchebag, and I hope nobody else funds him. And if you do fund him, Turnbuckle Tabloid will flame you live and in color.
Stupid. Come on, man, Kyle Davis. Hey, go ahead, boy. Do your thing. Seems as though that Stone Cold released a new beer on 316. It's a...
Of course he did.
It's a lager. And I'm like, I want to try this shit. I was watching Austin on Rich Eisen's show on Peacock, and they opened up a can of fucking Steve Weiser's on the show, and they just, I want it. I want to buy this shit. I want to. Brother AJ hits me up and he says, "We need to find Stone Cold's beer."
So it's a lager. So it's not like a truly. It's not like that bullshit.
They said the IPA is good as well, so I'm okay with that. But
okay, so
we gotta find it. We gotta look for it.
You need to find it before WrestleMania, so you can do a taste test.
This is your job, because you might have a better chance in Florida. You find a 6-pack in Florida, wrap that son of a bitch up, send it via mail to us, and we'll drink.
I got you. I'll check the nearest Wawa or Walmart.
Exactly, the Wawa would have it.
The Wawa, because it's so weird to say this, but like, I have a Wawa 5 minutes from my house, and I live like 8 minutes from a Walmart. I would have never been able to say those things in New York. Yeah, but you know what I saw in Walmart the other day? I saw they had the spiked Mountain Dew.
Oh.
And they have Baja Blast flavor, and it's like,
was it good?
I didn't buy it
because
I don't drink soda, but there, because they had that weird concoction, I'm pretty sure they will have Stone Cold beverage. So I'll check. I'm going to Walmart tomorrow, so I'll check.
Yeah, you do miss the bodegas, and you miss the Crown, don't you?
I miss Crown Chicken. I miss the bodegas. I miss our pizza. I told my mom if she can. I told my mom to get me a dozen bagels from my bagel store, the Wendell bagels, and to wrap them up and send them my way.
That'll be cool. That's nice.
And they won't go bad.
No.
They're just, you know. So I asked, and I told her to get me like a pound of cream cheese. Not a pound, but like, you know, one of the small containers of cream cheese that they sell at the Wendell Bagel, too.
Go get Philadelphia cream cheese. You get that at a fucking Wawa.
Nah, fuck that. Glendale Bagel's homemade whipped cream cheese is thebomb.com.
I guess.
I'll take nothing less. I'm bougie. Speaking of bougie, so what's the next article we talking about?
Do you understand?
Toni Storm apparently made $10,000 in 1 hour on her opening of OnlyFans.
And she made $45,000 as we speak.
Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't want to hear shit from any of you motherfuckers who drive cars talking about the gas prices are too high. Fuck you.
But you can afford this.
Exactly. Fuck you.
Two words. Hard pass.
What's the going rate on her fucking OnlyFans? Shit.
I could check.
Yeah, hold on. I did, because I haven't. You know, you have quick access to OnlyFans.
I've never used OnlyFans in my life, but
so you say.
I'll just type it in. Hold on. Tony Storm OnlyFans. I don't even know. What is it? Nude? Is it nude?
I doubt it.
I doubt it. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Like, Aldis just did the Samoa Joe. Fucking Matt Cardona went to do a dropkick and he just walked away.
Nice. She said reposting pictures will be met with legal action.
And people are already doing it already.
I'm assuming that. Okay, so she has. Oh my God. $200 for a year.
For what?
A year subscription. 3 months is $50 and 6 months is $100. And the monthly subscription for her is $20 a month.
But for what? Are you showing me a cuda? Like, what the fuck are you showing me?
I don't know. She doesn't say what she posts.
And they don't show any ass. They don't show any what you call it? Any
no preview.
That's bullshit.
It's all locked. But yeah. Hey, these idiots are buying it because she made $45,000.
Yeesh. Whatever.
I'm sorry. It's called Pornhub, ladies and gentlemen. Like, you guys are real simps.
Exactly.
You guys are simp.
And believe me, that Nikita Lyons chick, she is going the same route because let me tell you, she knows the simps that follow her, and she's giving them everything that they want.
Post that video of her bouncing that ass on the bed. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. The clout chaser herself. What do you think of Nikita Lyons, by the way? You think she's all clout, or you think she's actually a good wrestler?
Well, first of all, I don't know what I can barely hear you because now you sound like you're underneath a fucking pillow or something. You're like you're hiding yourself. So I don't know what the fuck happened there.
What do you think of Nikita Lyons? You think she's all looks? Or you think she's actually a good wrestler?
She's their Jade Cargill. That's what it is. Yeah, she's their Jade Cargill. That's their response to Jade Cargill. That's all it is.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Next up.
You're a real idiot, you know that.
The Briscoes are being blocked by Warner Media from being signed to AEW, which is something I have been saying for the longest on this show. Ever since Jay had made those homophobic comments on Twitter and has since apologized for it, they are not going to allow this signing to happen unless something is going to be cleared, because it's one individual in the Warner Media company who does not want them to be signed by AEW.
I wouldn't want them either.
Me, like I said, these tweets occurred maybe 10 years ago. One of the tweets was about they were in Ring of Honor in New York, and at that same day was a gay pride parade, and they were out in the streets during that time. So it was a shocking predicament to see all those gay people in the streets at one time, especially especially those who are basically dressed like wrestlers when they're out there in their thongs and their underwear and shit like that. So they made a comment about that. And then the other thing was about legislation in their state had passed something about gay rights or whatever. And Jay made a comment as to say, like, it's fine and dandy for that to happen, but you're not going to convince me or my kid that gay is right. Some shit like that. So he since then apologized, and from what has been said, he worked for gay people, like promoters. So I'm not sure whether he still had problems with them or
people evolved, man. People
maybe came. Who knows? But
Joe Biden said the N-word, and
he's the president.
Now he's the president promoting. Not people saying the N-word. So I mean, shit happens. People evolve. Things change. People change. I think all jokes aside, I think the Briscoe should definitely get signed by AEW. I know I just said no, but I didn't know the information. The information you just told me, I would definitely sign them. Well, shit happens. People say things. The amount of things people have WWE superstars have said, and they're back fucking being champion is amazing. So
that most likely what's gonna happen is that they're gonna fucking sign a Ring of Honor, but Ring of Honor is gonna probably look for another outlet to run the show. So Because who's the fuck to say that they're going to be under Warner Media and TNT and TBS? So who the fuck knows?
Who do you think has worse luck, the Briscoes or the person who bought Tom Brady's last ball and then before he retired?
And that jackalope, that fucker is fuck. Because the Briscoes can still make money anywhere, so they can go to any other promotion and hit the indies and make money. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they just won the
Crockett Cup at NWA, so it's whatever.
You said Tom Brady wants to hook up the person who bought the ball with Bitcoin, the charity of choice.
Oh fuck
off! I don't know how that hooks him up. But I mean, if anything, Tom Brady should just be like, "Yo, I'll give you the money back for it.
Yeah,
and I'll buy it off you."
Oh fuck off! Fuck off, mate.
Fuck off, mate.
Do you have to ask permission from your father-in-law first?
So apparently USA is happy with NXT ratings. I wouldn't know because I'm not watching. I'm not watching it, so I don't give a shit.
I don't watch NXT. I'm good. It's a hard pass.
And believe me, they made my job much easier when I'm doing Around the Square Circle.
So you skip it around the you skip it?
Yep. Don't watch it at all. I'm not watching shit. I don't give a fuck about the whole Dolph Ziggler shit. Don't care. I'm not watching it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I agree.
I'm up for debate to whether or not I'm going to make it part of the fucking my universe mode during the week.
I'll cancel that shit. I'll fucking exit out if I can. Fuck NXT, dude. NXT is a shadow of itself. It's a shell of itself. It's not. It ain't shit anymore. I'm good.
Feel like I'm watching one of my movies, because this whole damn thing sucks.
AEW video game update. It seems like they sent out some screenshots about it. There's a story mode, and
I saw
they are working with the same individuals who worked with Yuke's, who created SmackDown versus Raw, Raw SmackDown, whatever the case you want to call it. So it seems that they're trying to coincide with that, and still has that that look and aesthetic of the 64 N64 games, like No Mercy and WCW NWO Revenge, like in that look. But Kenny Omega was recently quoted as saying that it's gonna be tough to chase the 2K series with WWE. So it's gonna be interesting.
I'm excited. I mean, more wrestling games are more fun for me. I mean, I'm enjoying 2K22 as of right now. I'll definitely come back on Turnbuckle Tabloid to do a quick, a thorough review of the game, because I actually am playing it pretty much whenever I'm free on, you know, whenever I'm in my room on PlayStation. So I'm excited for some game competition. I mean, it looks fun. I want the AEW game to be more like an arcade, like SmackDown versus Raw. Here Comes the Pain kind of vibe, and I'll be happy. So we'll see. I mean, the graphics don't look that great, but it's not a finished product, so. We'll have to wait and see.
Good Lord. 91. That's awesome.
That's one of my favorite drops.
My favorite drop. There you go. My favorite drop.
That's awesome. The Scott Hall tributes were coming in this past week after his passing, and a lot of people were telling stories.
Rest in peace, Chico.
Telling tales, sharing their love and admiration for him. This past week we heard the sad news in which he relapsed after the NWO's Hall of Fame induction into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was drunk. He was drunk after. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and it seemed as though that the pandemic pretty much sent him into a downward spiral, being unable to connect with others and being isolated. And he just went back into his old ways. It's also noted that when he did fall and broke his hip, he was basically out for a few days, unable to reach out to get assistance and help. So basically he was...
So was he just laying there for days?
Yeah, man. It seems like he was immobile for a few days. And it was finally until somebody made a wellness check. And then they found him that he was on the floor. And when they took him in to the hospital, and we all know what happened afterwards, surgery caused a blood clot to ensue, and he suffered 3 heart attacks, and that was it for him. So, but it was a huge love and admiration for Scott Hall this past week on social media, and it was great to see that.
I didn't ask you, what are your thoughts on the passing of him, man?
Oh, man, it was, man. I talked about it on Cutting a Promo. I said, this is a guy who, when you listen to the shoot interviews with him, that you heard his love for wrestling, how of a great locker room guy he was, you know, outside of the whole clique nonsense that people always give him shit for. But other than that, he always looked out for other people when he didn't have it himself. And he always admired the fact that I look good going out on my back as I do going on top. So it's...
I always forget. I always remember his U-Shoot interviews and when he admitted that he wanted to eat Paige's ass. Yeah, listen, I'm sorry to bring that up, but like these YouTube interviews are some of the best content ever. Him and Nash.
That's a great way to eulogize him, is just say, yes, he wanted to eat Paige's ass.
You wanted to eat? I remember the interview when he was like, oh yeah, I remember doing some bullshit for NXT, and I walked by and said, I would want to eat her ass.
You know what? Okay. I'm not even mad at him.
It's like, what a soldier. What a soldier. Salute to you, brother.
Oh, I can't get a fucking drop. What the fuck happened here? Ah, whatever. We'll just move on. I'll find it later. So, speaking of Scott Hall, his son Cody is taking bookings now. In honor of his father's passing and such, and now he's opening up now to get back to wrestling. He has been out of wrestling for quite some time now, and I think in honor of his dad, he's ready to go back into the ring, which is a beautiful thing, man. That's it's a great look, and hopefully he gets some good booking soon.
Hey, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if WWE Performance Center wanted to talk to him, you know what I'm saying? Or eventually, not now. He needs to get better, but the next generation, man. We'll see.
I'm gonna love to see him and Nash do one match together.
Oh, boy. Yeah, jeez. Yeah, Nash touring his meniscus again.
The funniest thing I shared on TikTok was the video of when he's standing in the ring. When Scott Hall's standing in the ring and he throw the beer on him, and he just slicked it back and was like nothing. Like it just that's the epitome of what a wrestler is. That is what a pure wrestler is. You take something that was supposed to be embarrassing, and you fucking make it gold.
He made that shit smooth like butter too. He made that he treated that shit like promenade.
And it's crazy. It's crazy because his hair was kind of fucked up. Like, not fucked up, but it was like it was out of place. But as soon as the beer hit him, it just slicked it all back.
Yeah, that shit was that was badass mic drop moment.
Where the fuck is these drops? I'll take that one. It's our favorite one. Okay. Ricardo Rodriguez is back in rehab. I did not know that this man had a really severe drinking
problem. I didn't know he went to rehab at first. Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, apparently he had a severe drinking habit. Well, you know, I'll go with the stereotype and go, you know, he's Mexican. Órale! You know, he likes to drink the cerveza! You guys don't know, Ricardo Rodriguez is the manservant of Alberto Del Rio during his years in WWE.
But he actually is a professional wrestler.
And he's a really good trainer as well. He's really good. He's a really good wrestler.
Yeah, man. I mean, I saw that on the way to work the other day, and I was like, really? This guy had a drinking problem? But, like, you know, I haven't heard his name in years.
Yeah, so he's canceled on bookings. And speaking of Alberto Del Rio, this past week, he was in London doing commentary, Spanish announced commentary for UFC.
What the fuck, bro?
They're going to give him jobs, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to get jobs.
I think WWE's going to sign him.
Yeah, maybe.
Sorry. WWE's gonna give him another chance.
Vince likes to give second chances to people. He'll do that.
He does, and I believe he will one day. But Ricardo, wish you the best, brother. I hope you figure out your demons and get some help. I get the help you need and you want. And hopefully we'll see you face Hornswoggle again at a local indie show.
I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
Did you see the control your narrative rules?
Yes, and I don't know. You know what's funny? Fun fact, control your narrative is held in a bar about 10 minutes from my house.
You should go.
It's called Tin Roof, and I was actually at Tin Roof last week for music bingo.
Hey, what the fuck is that?
It's bingo, but you have your card sheet is full of songs, and when the DJ plays the song, you get to exit off.
Oh, okay.
It was fun. Me and my coworkers went. We all went out to get some drinks and happy hour, and we did music bingo. But it was at Tin Roof, and Tin Roof is where Control Your Narrative is held. So it's pretty funny. I actually found that funny because I was like, it was literally the day after I went to Tin Roof, and I saw a picture of EC3, like for the Control Your Narrative thing, and I saw that it was at Tin Roof, and I'm like, what? I was just there yesterday. So funny. Yeah, it's a small little shitty bar in the near the Isle of Orlando. It's hilarious.
Well, apparently with Control Your Narrative, one thing that is not going to be happening is we are not going to be doing topes or super kicks.
Oh, really? That's what they said? They mentioned that?
Yeah, we're not doing topes and we're not doing super kicks.
No! Tope suicidas!
Yeah, it's a really fucking silly fucking rules and settings. I thought I saved it. I thought I had it in here. I know somebody posted it.
No tope suicidas.
I guess that's a good thing. I mean,
I'm sorry. This whole control your narrative thing is stupid.
Oh, here it is. Rule number one: you are in control.
Okay.
Rule number two, you are in control. Which means
what? The same thing as rule number one.
It's a Fight Club thing. It's like in Fight Club. It's rule one about Fight Club. No one talks about Fight Club.
Don't talk about Fight Club.
Rule number two, don't talk about Fight Club. Rule three, fights end when you tap out, get knocked out, can't stand or quit. Sanctioned matches can end in a pinfall. So I guess they're saying that every match that they're doing is not sanctioned?
Right.
I guess.
That's weird. Okay.
Standard professional wrestling rules apply for sanctioned matches. Chaos ensues in the project pit. Whatever the fuck that means.
I don't know what the fuck that means. But okay.
No super kicks, no tope suicidas, no Canadian destroyers.
That is such a lame rule. Not in terms of the rule itself, but just the fact that they had to establish that is, I think, really sad. No topes, no topes. I already know Braun Strowman made that one, but go ahead.
The fight isn't with your opponent. It is with yourself. What?
That is the. I'm sorry.
That's ridiculous.
I'm gonna keep my mouth shut.
Apparently not, because you're yawning as fuck over there, so you're not gonna keep your mouth shut.
Fine. No, because I want to see something messed up, but I won't. You know what?
Fights will go on as long as they have to. Sanctioned matches hit their times. That's even
the mookiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's once again. That's them. Talking to like fucking marks, hit their times, whatever. If you want to
hit your times, what the fuck?
Rule number eight: if you want to control your narrative, you have to fight. This is so right wing bullshit.
It's so bad. Yeah, it's just so dumb.
This is so fucking so right wing.
Control your narrative equals Trump supporting wrestling. Fuck you. I'm so over that shit. That sounds so bad. Rule number one, fight for your life. You're going to fight. Oh, we're going to fight.
For your rights.
To Mookie. there. Like, no. Like,
what a fucking stupid fucking.
How, that sounds
I'm
so dumb.
I'm already mad at this promotion.
I'm gonna go next time I'm off and they are doing a show. I'm on the tin roof. I'm gonna give a Turnbuckle Tabloid exclusive Facebook Live viewing, and we're gonna shit on this together.
Yes.
I really? I'm literally 10 minutes from my house. Really? I'm in the car. I'll go and I'll fucking shit on it.
AEW and DDT have signed a deal. So, anyways, who don't know, DDT is a wrestling promotion out in Japan, which basically they got their talent from like Michael Nakazawa. It's a
of course.
It's a goofy kind of promotion like Chikara, kind of.
Oh boy!
It's the same.
What's his name?
I believe that's the same promotion in which did the Kenny Omega little girl match or the doll match, the blow up doll match. Yeah, that. So,
what's that guy's name from fucking House of Glory? The guy with the fucking mask who came before pandemic.
Yeah, that fucking goofball, like that kind of shit. Yeah, like that.
So what's his name? Oh my god, I used to make fun of his name all the time. You have to remember. Please tell me you remember his name.
I really don't. I drink a lot, so I don't know. I remember.
Oh fuck! But you know what I'm talking about right now, like Shakaniki Mookie Mookie.
Okay, that's almost racist, but okay. it's almost racist.
No.
But yeah, they've made their whatever. Who gives a shit?
You're fired.
Okay. Cody Rhodes is signed with WWE, huh?
Yeah, it seems confirmed. I mean, I hope he comes at WrestleMania. People are saying he's going to show up at the Raw after Mania. I don't think that's smart. I think Rollins should come out at WrestleMania and say, I'm not leaving until I find an opponent. I need someone worthy. And we get an impromptu Cody and Rollins match. That would be really fun. I saw an article. Think about it this way. Cody left after being offered $500,000 to stay. He leaves, and now he has been offered and has taken a $3 million contract.
Yeah.
Stick to your guns and you believe what you believe. Believe in yourself, and you go from 500K to 3 mil. So,
but the other thing too is like I speculated that it would be that he had the Triple H deal where you got paid as a talent and got paid as an executive, two different contracts.
You think they're signing Cody more than just being a talent?
No. I'm talking about in AEW. That's what he could have done. Because remember, he's an EVP, and like look at Triple H. Triple H gets like I think it's like $4 million, $5 million as a COO of the company, some shit like that. And he has a separate contract as a wrestler. He has like $1 million contract as a wrestler. So, yeah, right. I would have thought that maybe these Nimrods over there, at fucking AEW, would have gotten the same deal. Since Tony likes throwing fucking money around anyway, you might as well.
I think Cody just didn't want to stay in general.
Cody was already uncomfortable over there. Cody already was having his relationship between he and Omega and the guys breaking down. And then when he finally realized that, you know, those guys are probably seeing more shine and look better through Tony Khan's eyes, that he wasn't, you know, Dusty's son. He realized, yeah, it's time to go. Plus, I mentioned this before in the conversations, I think always fucking trying to implement your wife and shit really soured that whole relationship.
Yes, and I'm very happy that the rumor is that Brandy is not signing with WWE. It's just Cody. So I'm happy to see that, because if it was Cody and Brandy coming back, I'd be like, nah.
Listen, I just want one more match. I want one more match. I want Triple H versus Cody. With Brandy and Stephanie on each other's side. Like, I want that shit.
Hell yeah. No, I'll be hyped for that. But what do you think the potential is for Cody? Do you think they're going to pull a typical WWE move where they give him hype for a few months and then he's back in the mid low card and we forget this ever happened? Or do you think that he is going to be Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, top of the card, main eventer for the rest of his time in the company.
Cody's fun because you can do anything with him. I was talking to my brother about it. You can do anything with Cody. You could put Cody in a Roman feud. You could put Cody in a Brock feud. You could put Cody in a fucking Seth Rollins, Kevin
Finn
Owens
Balor.
Feud.
I want Cody Finn in Finn Balor. Balor.
You could put him in anything. He doesn't, because they're like, you know, does it really matter if he's in a championship title? And I'm like, no, it's really not. It doesn't really matter. You could put him in any feud. He showed that he can do it in AEW, so. And then now
I want Cody's Intercontinental Champion.
Right.
I want him versus Finn Balor for the IC belt. Right. That would be fun.
He showed that he didn't need to be that upper tier guy. And it'll be a big fuck you that they give him the belt, but they're not going to, since the talks is basically that they're unifying the belt. But even so,
they are.
Honestly, it's you can do anything with him. I know right now he's going, thank God I don't have to fucking bleed anymore. I don't have to go through a flaming fucking table. I don't have to fucking take, you know, thumbtacks in my ass every fucking week.
Wait, so do you genuinely think that the WWE is going through the route of one champion for both shows?
Yes, I do. I think that's what's going to happen. And
I agree. I think it's great.
I'm okay with it. I've come to terms with it.
No, I 100% think it's great, because I think the idea of two main champions nowadays doesn't work. And I'll tell you why. Because when you look at each brand, you look at the face of the company, there can't be two. Because the other person will always be lesser than the next. Like, I'm sorry to say it, but anyone who was WWE champion when Roman Reigns was Universal Champion was not going to get pushed right, because they were, well, Roman was the guy.
Yeah, but
so to have one champion for both shows just makes sense.
Yeah,
and then the workhorse, they'll be on both nights a week. It'll make the championship important again, because I don't remember the last time the WWE championship has been important. I just
can't wait for stupid ass fucking triple threat matches to happen now. Every fucking championship match is gonna be a triple threat match now. Because now it's going to be the number one contender for Raw, number one contender for SmackDown. But
or we get singles matches and he's on there, so on both paper, they're just on one night,
right?
Or like whatever the case.
But I know that the networks, they were talking about saying that, you know, they wish they had their championship. But this is why I say, you know, and I know Homework is not a fan of this, but I said bring more belts, because it makes it more better. Bring the fucking TV title. You know what I'm saying? Bring the fucking
My only issue with that is I feel like they need to worry about bringing prestige back to the mid card they have already more than
so
bring a new one.
So bring a TV title, bring the cruiserweight belt, more have it more active on Raw and SmackDown, have it be one of those that is defended everywhere. I have them fucking move it around. I mean, it helped in the other territories like NWA, WCW. They had more belts, so it made this, because this, every story that you're doing now, you done recycled it, you done put it through the ringer, you've done spun it as many ways as you can, and there's nothing more creatively that you can do unless you're fucking involve sex or fuck. It's like, what are you gonna do? There's not much you can do. So you might as well at least have more belts in there, because if you throw more belts in there, it's something people can chase, I guess. But with Cody coming back, and should he come back at Mania? Yeah, I'm more inclined with the whole Seth Rollins calling somebody out. Nobody's taking my. No one's gonna take my WrestleMania spot. I'm coming out to wrestle regardless of what anybody thinks. I'll take anybody in the back. Fucking Seth is gonna kill me.
What's the call? What's the call?
He's gonna fucking kill. Seth is gonna kill me. I'll take anybody in the back. And give me anyone. I'll take the little boogeyman or whoever they have back there. And then fucking Cody comes out.
You sound like Steve-O.
That too. Well, you know, Seth and Steve-O got a little thing going on. And to close out wrestling rundown, we have Jeff Hardy was recently on a podcast. Was it Matt's podcast? I think it was on Matt's podcast, right? In which he discussed the whole leaving of WWE and how it occurred. Jeff Hardy broke his silence. He appeared on the latest edition of Extreme Life with Matt Hardy and about his release with WWE, in which he said, certain things happen for a reason. Subconsciously, that was maybe the smartest things I've ever done, guided by something that was higher than me. I'll say the best way I can describe my journey for the last few months in WWE was like glimmers of hope, and maybe I still do have something. The last glimmer of hope was at Survivor Series, which was really good. It came down to me and Seth. I was killing it, almost won, and the crowd was so behind me. I felt like one of the most popular babyfaces in WWE because the crowd was so with me. Then there were other times where I felt like a ghost, roaming the halls, like, why am I even here? I don't even feel important. I kept doing my deal and would show up and do whatever they wanted me to do. I never been a politicker, so I didn't go out of my way to get a certain spot to achieve a certain status. That night, I finished my heat. I took heat, and I said, I'm ready to go. I went over the rail, disappeared into the crowd. Naturally, they think I took something like drugs or whatever, but I didn't. If I was that bad, I should have never went out there. Impact Wrestling versus Sting. That's the way I see it. I thought, just another unpredictable thing I can do, and I'll get away with it. It was more serious than that. Again, it was one of the smartest things I've ever done because everything I worked for, I worked out perfectly, mainly because of my first day in AEW. I felt valuable for the first time. Yeah, until fucking 3 months from now and you're wrestling on Dark. The care and love I have shown, I got chills for thinking about it. In WWE, I felt like they were just wanted to keep me there to sell action figures. I put so much love and joy and paint in my face, and when I see it come out and immortalize it in action figures, I'm like, that's why I do this. That's why it's cool. That's one thing I'm super excited about with AEW. My first action figure to have face paint. Oh, you fucking mark. WWE actually made Jeff Hardy an offer to return after finding out he passed his drug test, which even included him being inducted to the Hall of Fame, but they rejected the favor, reunited with Matt in AEW. Okay, I'm going to have you express it because you've already read this before. And I'm going to have you start. What's your thoughts about this?
I think Jeff showed that he is a piece of shit. I hate this. I'm very disappointed in Jeff, actually. You could have just requested a release. You could have requested to leave or take some time off and like a break just to, or you could have spoke up and said, I want to do a program with some of these young guys. Like, you know, you could have done any other way. You could have went any other direction. But instead, you took the pussy way out and you jump over the rail, creating controversy, knowing WWE would accuse you of doing something like that because of your track record that only you created, sir. I'm sorry, but if a person who has a really bad history with demons and stuff jumps the guardrail and does some crazy actions, I'm sorry. I hate to assume the worst, but as a company, you can't cross out all possibilities. So knowing that they were going to ask you about that, now you try to feel like the bad guy and you dip over to AEW because you knew you wanted to do that from the jump. That's some shady shit, dude. And I love Jeff, but I don't know, not anymore. I mean, yes, it's cool to see the Hardy Boys back for the 5 jillionth time, but I don't like the way he did this. It was unprofessional. I lost a lot of respect for Jeff. Just for the idea that he thought it was the best thing he's ever done. Like, really? After everything you've done in your career, lying and being a dickwad is one of your highlights? That's sad. I'm disappointed in him. I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of space. I think that he needs to reevaluate his conscience because that was fucked up.
When we first reported on this, we were more sympathetic to the fact that possibly something like this happened.
We were worried for his health.
And we also played both sides of the fence because we also said that if he did do this as a way to get out of his contract, he's a fucking scumbag. And I even said that I would not believe that that was far-fetched to do, because I know a lot of people were sitting out there saying, well, you know, WWE is really doing nothing with him anyway. But I also said, yeah, but honor your contract. Honor what it is that you have to do. You resigned for a reason. You didn't have to. You resigned.
Yep.
Honor your contract.
Yep.
It just shows.
Get something done about it. Don't be a bitch.
So it just shows that you're a manipulative bitch who used your own demons to use it against them who played you. And you figure that you played you played them. And it's like, no. If you didn't like the way that they were treating you, you could have left. And like you said, you could have said, I want to be released. Hell, you have status with the company. You could say,
they probably would have honored it.
You could say, I'm retiring. Go away for a couple of wrestlers retire all the time. Say, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Take and a retire. Break and then go to AEW.
Right. Retire. In the same time frame that you had dealing with this shit going on, it'd have been the same time frame if you just say, listen, I'm retiring. I'm done. But what you really did was you used what, like I said, you use your own bad history to spin it to where it was a way for me to get, it was strategic. It was planned. I can't respect that. I recently had a conversation with somebody and their kid, and they were talking about, well, you know, my kid was in baseball, but they don't want to do baseball anymore. They want to do track. And I'm like, well, is the season happening? And they're like, yeah. And I'm going, are they playing? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, they should finish the season with baseball, because you made a commitment to baseball. Finish that season. And I'm using only these sports as an example because they're not the real sports, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. Honor your commitment. Honor what it is that you said you were going to do. And then if you're not going to do it anymore, then you finish off with finishing your commitment.
You know what bothers me about this whole story? That he knows how concerned the fan base was for his health during that time. We were concerned he relapsed. We were concerned he was in a dark place. Just for him to go, psych, I was just unhappy where I was working.
Right. And even what, say what you can say,
are
what
you kidding
want,
me?
Say what you say about Vince, but Vince has shown that he, you know, especially guys like him and Jericho has even said it, that he's, Vince is a caring individual when it comes to guys.
He offered him therapy.
Right, and has
so he offered him rehab. They were going to pay for his rehab again after him. They paid for it already, and he goes, "Nah, I was joking. I was like, are you kidding me?"
But you sat there and you manipulated the narrative because of your history. You look like a fucking asshole to do that. And you know what? I'm not shocked, because the Hardys have done stupid shit like this before. Look at fucking Matt trying to get clout early on, not early on, and a few years ago, when, you know, he would go on social media and talk about, oh, I'm going to kill myself. And, you know, and it was all to get fucking a following to tell them, hey, listen, you guys got to put him back in wrestling because he's not doing well. They all find a way to fucking sit there and use their own fucking demons to get out of what they should be doing, which is do your fucking work.
Let me ask you this. If House of Glory books the Hardys again and there's a meet and greet, when you go up to him and say to his face, I'm disappointed in you.
I don't know. I'm not wasting no energy on that shit. That's bullshit.
No, not paying. But when you, if he came to you and said, you're happy I'm an AEW, right? Would you say like no?
No. I wouldn't even fucking entertain that shit. It's because you know what it is? It's just scumbag shit. And you know what it is? That's what and I'm sorry, but that's what fucking druggies do. That's what fucking alcoholics do. They take their hiccup and they'll spin it to where it's beneficial to them by manipulating others. And that's exactly what the fuck this is. I see it every fucking day. Oh, you know, you got to give me peanut butter jelly sandwiches. You know that I'm sick. You know that I do this. You know that I'm a psych patient. You know, whatever the case may be. They'll take whatever it is to spin their narrative and use their own fucking vices just to get what they want. And they'll make it. They'll make you look like shit in the process. And this is what they did. You manipulated the whole situation knowing that WWE was going to do that. You know what? If I was fucking WWE, I'd say, oh, really? Oh, shit. You know what? You're suspended and indefinitely. Fuck it. Honor your fucking cut. We'll pay you to stay home. Fuck it.
Yep. Honestly, I never thought I could say this, but fuck you, Jeff. Like, I'm disappointed as a fan.
And fuck you, Matt, too. Fuck Matt, too, because he knew that he what the fuck he was doing.
And Matt hyped it up.
Yeah. You knew what the fuck he was doing. And now you're going to be... Yeah. Now you in AEW, and for the umpteenth time, we're going to be screaming, yeah, Young Bucks versus Hardys. Who gives a fuck? Only you fucking AEW marks give a fuck about this. No one really cares. I just saw Hardys versus Private Party again, and I'm like, eh? Eh? It's done nothing for me. Real wrestling fans don't give a fuck about this. This is only their way to say, you know what? We get a couple of more dollars in our pocket before we fucking retire. That's it. That's all it is. Right. We got a fucking mark over here who will shell out the money. And I'm so looking forward to seeing Jeff Hardy versus Darby. Are we though? Now you just left a bitter taste in my mouth because of the fucking stupid shit. You know what you should have did? Shut the fuck up and just go and gone and wrestled. Shut up. Just shut the fuck up and go wrestle.
Yeah, I'm over Jeff. And to be honest, when he came out with AEW, I was like, I could care less.
Yeah, after your brother's getting his ass whipped, you're going to go and dance down the fucking ramp. Stupid ass. This is what I'm saying. So they're fucking marks for themselves. And now I get to fucking get an action figure with my face paint on it. You need a fucking dick. Get out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, bro. I'm very disappointed.
But you know, everybody can sit there and go, well, you know WWE did him wrong anyway. They treated him bad anyway. You know, they used his own vices against him. You know what you could have said? Hey, listen. I don't want none of my drug abuse. I don't want none of my alcoholism. I don't want that to be used on this show. And
right.
If they said, well, we're going to use it, and you say, you know what? I'll walk. And then you fucking walk. There's certain things certain morals that you stand on. And, you know, there's certain individuals who sit there and say, yeah, I'm not going to do that. You had carte blanche like a CM Punk or Jericho or hell, like a Roman or all these guys now, or Cena. Hardy had that carte blanche. He could have told Vince, right. I'm not doing that. And they'd have been like, okay, what do you want to do? Hell, you've been in with the company since you was fucking 17 years old. Like, honestly.
Right.
Don't give me this right bullshit. Dead. It's just nonsense. But guys, I'm going to wrap up wrestling rundown. Oh boy, Oski was in the building. Yay!
Much love. You already know it, fam. I'm here.
He'll be here for part two when we do our second episode. We're going to be doing cutting a promo. We're going to do our state of wrestling address. And it'll be interesting because it's actually one in which he'll be discussing not only the reason why he fell off of wrestling, but also his years with on the show and such, and what helps to keep him coming back, except, you know, besides my bald sexiness. So, guys,
hey, of course,
don't go anywhere. Stick around. We will return. Check you guys in a sec.
Hey, Baba. It's Harry Sheik, the Sheiky baby, WWF champion. And you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. And if you're not listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid, Baba, you are a jabroni. And I'll fuck you in the ass like Brussels and a Hulk Hogan. Chicky baby listens to Turnbuckle Tabloid, Baba. And you shall listen to what she can listen to.
I gotta breeze through this because I get on the phone with Oski and it just gets long-winded conversations. So I'm gonna breeze through this. It's gonna be Round the Square Circle, what we watched, what we got into, what we listened to, what we partook in this past week of wrestling. Just a quick rundown. Cornette this week discusses the Briscoes and their comments, whether or not it's going to help them or hurt them to get signed with AEW. And also, he discusses the bounce back on Big E's injury, as well as Scott Hall and his eulogy. 83 weeks, Eric Bischoff discusses Goldberg and his limitations. I think it's pretty much what a lot of stuff we talked about. Wrestling bios, Goldberg versus Lesnar, WrestleMania 20. That's actually a really good conversation. Something to look at, to go back, and look at once again. We took, what was he thinking of? There's another site on YouTube, content creators on YouTube. They're called Parts Funknown and they're wrestling orientated. I believe Adam Blompier works with them these days. For them, they were talking about the rise and fall of Ring of Honor. It's a mini series. So this was part one, and it's very interesting for you guys who are not aware or know about Ring of Honor. Look them up at Parts Funknown on YouTube. This week on MLW, Roxy wrestles Miranda Gordy, daughter of Terry Gordy. Roxy, her last appearance on MLW because she was just recently signed to the Performance Center with WWE. Also signed with Santino Marella's daughter as well. And some dude who kind of looks like Randy Orton. Weird. So check MLW. You also get Hammerstone and his backstory. You get to hear of his days growing up of basically being poor. A lot of wrestlers were just poor. I mean, I understand it. He got it to it. He was so poor. He said he didn't even have cable. It was like, shit, damn, you were poor. And then we get a really, really good match between TJP and Buddy Matthews, which, by the way, the name Buddy Matthews, I thought, I started thinking, I'm like, it's very reminiscent of a 1950s neighbor on a sitcom, like Leave It to Beaver's next door neighbor or some shit like that. When you hear Buddy Matthews, I don't know. I've never really been a fan of that name. And finally, you get Crockett Cup was this weekend. I'll give you guys a full review. Check out their up-to-date coverage as well as the winners and losers. So when you get the chance, go on Fight TV and check out NWA's Crockett Cup. It was very, very good, very entertaining. The tournament itself plus the championship matches were spot on, spectacular. So check those guys out at NWA. I guess pretty much that's gonna lead us into Raw. Cue my music, people. All right, leading into Raw this week. Of course, we had the announcement that Scott Hall passed away. It was basically announced by WWE that this occurred. Kevin Owens paid tribute to Scott Hall by starting a promo with, "Hey, yo." He was sent the message to Stone Cold Steve Austin leading up to WrestleMania 38. Owens then hit the cameraman with the stunner. The backstage segment, Seth Rollins talked about what is going to happen for him in WrestleMania 38. He's still not sure what's going to happen while the fans chanted Cody. We get Damian Priest defeating Finn Balor in a non-title match for the US belt. This is actually pretty good. It was actually a good match, decent match. Whenever you get these two guys on together, they work well. After that, we get Austin Theory laying out Balor. We get Amos defeating Commander Aziz, Battle of the Big Men. Amos then grabbed Apollo Crews by the head, carried him into the freaking ring, and choked him out. In the backstage segment, we get Kevin Owens trying to motivate Seth Rollins to get him going, possibly seeing if they could do something for WrestleMania 38. And this is when Rollins had a light bulb moment. Liv Morgan defeats a women's tag team champion, Queen Zelina Vega. It looks like there's some tension brewing between Zelina and Carmella. Seth Rollins comes out jumping and happy in the ring. Seth announces that he found a way to get into the WrestleMania card, and he called Kevin Owens out. Rollins then mentioned that what he'll do is that he'll have his own segment, a talk show on WrestleMania, and will also have Stone Cold on his show. And this is when Owens says he can't do that because he just started it. This is when Seth tells Kevin, well, then I'll fight you for it. And Kevin was like, nah, I don't really want to do that. Sony DeVille comes out and says, that's a great idea. And they set up a match for the main event, which will be the winner will be the one who hosts a TV show for Mania with Stone Cold as the guest. I don't mind the build-up for getting something for Rollins to do. I just thought that this was a stupid premise. But I also wasn't mad at the fact that you get Kevin and Seth Rollins in a match. The Mysterios defeat Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. After the match, The Miz and Logan Paul then attack them. The Mysterios fought them off. Ray and Dominic were about to hit Logan with a double 619, but Miz pulled them out. By the way, all those rumors that were going around on social media about Shelton Benjamin and certain individuals being released, not true. Edge came out to a new theme song, which a lot of people were not happy about, but it's like, he's heel, like, he's got to get a new something. Edge said he's the benchmark of the WWE and insulted the fans and said he'll say in simple words, I am better than everyone. Edge just said if he makes it to WrestleMania, speaking of AJ Styles, that he will be judged. We didn't get Bianca Belair defeating Doudrop while Becky Lynch attacked Bianca after the match. Rated RK Bro had a victory celebration. Randy thanked Riddle for believing in him. Owens said he will have his 18th WrestleMania match at 38, and this will be the first time he will enter the show of shows as a tag team champion. Street Profits interrupted and challenged him to a Royal Tag Team title match at 38. And Orton said that's not how it works. Montez Ford said he's not asking Orton. He's telling him that they'll be facing each other at WrestleMania. Orton then told him to leave or he'll start hearing voices in his head. Riddle then had a word with Orton and Orton accepted the challenge. Montez then called the party in which they had ass. And Riddle got in his face for insulting Randy. Riddle defeated Montez Ford via disqualification because the Alpha Academy interfered. I'm really into this whole tag team thing. I, as you guys know, I'm a big tag team guy, and it's been quite some time that Raw has a tag team angle that's going, that's fun and interesting to watch. So I'm cool with all this so far. We get a tribute to Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, and you pretty much almost hear Corey Graves lose it. I mean, and he was It was touching. Then finally, we get Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins in the main event match. Very good match. And basically, pretty much knew that this was going to happen. Kevin was going to win. And now we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with Seth. It was then heard the commentary in which certain slipping of mentions of Cody was that what is it that they were saying? Seth Rollins is his hopes of being at WrestleMania is dashing, and it was some other fucking thing. Yeah. Oh, it's been a nightmare for him to get lead to third to WrestleMania. So little Easter eggs that are dropping to say that Cody will be showing up really soon. So we'll check that out. This will lead us to AEW's Dynamite. Kicking off AEW Dynamite, we get Adam Cole and Red Dragon squaring off against the AEW tag team under AEW champion Hangman Page and the World Tag Team Champions Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Spot fest. Whatever. Adam Cole, Red Dragon win, and that's it. Get Moxley and Brian Danielson defeating Chuck Taylor and Wheeler Yuta after the match. William Regal smacked Yuta. As I mentioned earlier, when I'm speaking to Oski, I'm not getting this pairing with Danielson and Moxley. It's odd. It's very odd. It's not clicking for me. And No, guys. I'm not with the shits. What can I do? What can I do? All I can do is just sit here and complain. Pretty much. And then with this Wheeler Yuta thing. Really? Whatever. I don't know. This is just a hodgepodge of different fucking talents that they're trying to put together, I guess. We then get a conversation with FTW champion Ricky Starks. And he tells the Acclaimed to finish off Keith Lee this Friday to show on Rampage. Strickland then walked up to Starks and questioned why he's saying Rampage is his show and said that Rampage is now his house. Then we get the Chris Jericho segment, which he said fans should consider themselves lucky for the last 30 years that they got to witness the Chris Jericho era. Jericho said that Santana Ortiz didn't appreciate him, so he had to kick them out of the inner circle. It's not kicking him out of the inner circle. There's no more inner circle. So who's kicked out? There's just no inner circle. No one has got kicked out. Jericho stated that the only people that truly appreciate him is his fellow Jericho Appreciation Society members. What a fucking stupid name. Jericho announced that Jeff Parker and Matt Lee would now be known by their real names as Angelo Parker and Matt Menard, and that 2.0 is another bad name made by bad creative. Yeah, your creative at AEW. Jericho said he's just not a pro wrestler. He's a sports entertainer now. And listen, like I mentioned earlier, I love the heat. I'm okay with the whole counter wrestling angle. I just hate the fucking crew. I think it's stupid. Scorpio Sky and Warlow wrestled for the TNT Championship. This was a spot in which we definitely was ready to showcase Warlow. Surprisingly enough, they did not put the strap on Warlow this week. It would have been funny that Scorpio was a transitional champ, but we didn't have that this week. Scorpio Sky wins. This was after MJF screwed Warlow. MJF and Shawn Spears that took turns beating down Warlow with the chairs. The Hardy Boys, I sound like fucking Cornette. The Hardy Boys defeat Private Party I've seen this already. There's nothing that captivated me. And to be honest, I'm looking at Matt Hardy now with the old Matt Hardy gear, you know, baggy pants and shit. And it just looks bad. It looks like a dad that's really trying to look cool. And it's like, no, let's not do that. Stop. Even Jeff being there, it's just, I don't know. After the match, the Hardys, are surrounded by AFO, but Darby and Sting come out and even the odds. Why? And then in the main event, we get the steel cage match in which Thunder Rosa battles Dr. Britt Baker for the AEW Women's Championship. Okay, for all you marks out there, it wasn't the fucking greatest steel cage match ever, especially for women. Cut it out. Once again, AEW cannot just have a legit match. We have to have thumbtacks. You have to get bloody. You're diluting yourself. It was okay. I'm not gonna say it was, you know, the be all end all matches. It was all right, but Jesus, cut it out with this nonsense, people! Stop. Your perception of this really just takes away from what real wrestling is. And I'm sitting there just looking at this, and I'm going, meh. Because you have to get your usual spots. You got to get your chair shots. You got to get your chair spots. Got to get your thumbtacks. Tell you, indie show on a budget, I swear. Thunder Rosa gets the win. Finally, Britt is dethroned. And I guess they wanted to do this because they were in Thunder Rosa's hometown. You gave them a championship match in a steel cage and gave her the title there, but you didn't give it to her at the pay-per-view. Okay. I like I said, I don't think it would have made any difference if you would have given her the belt at Revolution and then she had the rematch at Dynamite where... I don't know, if she won. Like, she could have won the rematch there. It didn't matter. She could have retained the belt at home. Then, because the prior week, you had Thunder Rosa wrestling Layla Hirsch for the title shot, and it was, like, quick. Like, you rushed it. I don't know. Their booking is just all over the fucking place. It's very bipolar. So, yeah, that'll lead us into a Friday Night SmackDown. SmackDown, ladies and gentlemen, opens up with the Bloodline coming out with, of course, Roman Reigns wearing his new God Mode t-shirt. And Reigns is talking about how Lesnar won't be here tonight after Heyman informs him that Lesnar had some plane issues in Saskatchewan. So, of course, you know, Roman goes into his rant about, I would smash him if he was here. Smash him. Then all of a sudden, Heyman turns around and says, he's here. He's here. He's here. This is when Roman gets a look on his face and tells the other guys, all right, Heyman, you deal with this. We're out of here. When he gets to the back, about to get in his their car, this is where we see Lesnar in some kind of forklift. Farming construction tool, whatever, and basically just sticks it straight through the car. The guys were able to evade the horrendous attack, jump into another car, and drive off, leaving Lesnar to hold onto the door, which then he proceeds to bring into the ring, which was fucking hilarious. He lets him know that he can run, he can hide, but in come WrestleMania, he'll have to face him head on. We get a tag team match between Nakamura and Boogs against Los Lotharios. I actually like those guys, man. I'm a fan of the team. I like the look for them, and you know, I like the kiss cam now when they find a chick in the crowd and they give him a kiss and shit. I know they have to tell him ahead of time because I don't want to hear that there's some sexual harassment shit going on. Either that or she's just a plant. So, Shinsuke and Boogs win. Boogs was looking impressive in this match. Actually, is showing that he's you can tell that they're trying to build him to be somewhat of a star here. So, Drew McIntyre and the Viking Raiders defeat Happy Corbin with Jinder Mahal and Shanky. We then get Sami Zayn challenging Johnny Knoxville to an Anything Goes match in WrestleMania 38. And Johnny Knoxville was like, okay, that's cool. I'm with it. Live for Brutality is the new name of Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. Why do they keep putting Rhea Ripley in tag teams? Why? When is she finally going to break out and just do things on her own? Okay. Maybe if you want to keep her in a tag team, fine. But you could also have her do singles matches. That's, you know, it's possible. We could have that happening, right? Right. Sasha Banks and Naomi ended in a DQ against Liv for Brutality because Natalya and Shayna interfered and attacked everyone. Natalya and Shayna made it clear that they're going after Carmella and Zelina as well. But they weren't booked. They weren't booked for that. Until Sonya Deville said she likes what they did and added them to the match. Pat McAfee was called to Vince McMahon's office. Pat then came out of the office, went to the ring, and revealed that was told to apologize to Austin Theory for beating his ass last week. Theory then came out, and Pat cut a hell of a promo and said he's sorry he beat his ass last week. I'm telling you, at first I was wondering about this guy. I was like, why? The motherfucker takes this shit like duck to water, man. He's good. Promo-wise, he'll have his second match coming up soon. And I think that this guy is bringing great energy to WWE. I fucking die every time Nakamura comes out and McAfee starts rocking out. This episode, he's fucking playing air guitar and he's grinding his fucking hips on Michael Cole. I was fucking pissing myself. Fucking hilarious. Ridge Holland defeated Kofi Kingston. Sheamus had to stop Butch from attacking Kofi. Butch. Oh my God. RIP Pete Dunne. Fuck. We then get finally the SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte Flair destroying Ronda Rousey in the main event segment. She first choked out Ronda with a kendo stick and then powerbombed her through the announce table to close out SmackDown. Oof. AEW Rampage kicks off with Darby Allin defeating the Butcher and the Blade. Oh, Butcher from the Butcher and the Blade via countout. Wow. A countout. Wow. Okay. Darby and Sting come and the Hardys come face to face with the Andrade family office after the match. Matt then proposed to face off in an 8-man Texas Tornado match next week on Dynamite. Again. Now everything's a Texas fucking tornado death match. Oh, God, this fucking company. TNT champion Scorpio said he defeated Wardlow as he promised, and that his opponents will make excuses for losing to him while he makes history. I was having a conversation with, I believe it was the boss, was talking to Rich about this whole, now all of a sudden, resurgence of champions, and now we have Scorpio Sky and Jade Cargill as champions. You know, those of the minority persuasion in which there were some individuals in wrestling fandom who are having a problem with the fact that there's some lack of diversity with it. And, you know, after the big swole comments and such. For me, I did not have this problem with them as of yet, because, like I said, the company's still basically in its infant stages. So they're still getting a feel for certain wrestlers who to put over and such. So I didn't really have a problem with that. But it is kind of peculiar that Jade Cargill, Scorpio Sky, and now Thunder Rosa are your champions. Interesting. So we get Red Velvet. No, sorry. We get Paige Van Zandt saying that she looks better than any woman, fights better than any woman, and can gain money by whatever the chance it has, and can gain and gets more money than the Federal Reserve. Red Velvet defeats legit Layla Hirsch. Oof, what a fucking match that was. Yeesh. Statlander comes out during the match and stops Layla from cheating by using the turnbuckle. We get House of Black defeating Fuego del Sol and Bear Country. What a fucking match that was as well. Oof. And finally, we get Keith Lee defeating Matt Caster. Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks attack Lee after the match. And this is when Swerve Strickland came out to make the save. Are we getting a black faction, ladies and gentlemen? Okay. So that's going to wrap up our Round the Square Circle, as well as wrap up Turnbuckle Tabloid. Make sure you check us out on all social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. We're all covered on those social media outlet bases. Make sure you check us out as well as on all the podcasting outlets. Download, stream, subscribe. We're everywhere. They're never there. So make sure you check us out there. Also, be sure you check us out at RageWorksNetwork.com as well as at RageWorks.net. Make sure you check us out as well. So just the closing statements before I go. As always, take care of yourself. You know, a lot of us are getting older in age. That's me. And start looking more into, you know, exercise, watching what we eat, trying not to bust your ass while walking down the street. I mean, it should be happening. Twist your fucking ankle and shit fucked up. But yeah, just stop being a little bit more health conscious. I mean, you know, I love me some bacon as much as the next person does, but you know, sometimes you got to cut it down. Cut down the sodas. Drink some more waters. You know, get some walking into your life a little bit more. Get on a treadmill. Get off the couch and do some activities out there in the world. You know, be a little bit more health conscious. We want to keep you guys on this planet a little bit more longer than we're expected to be. So let's do that. All right, guys. I'm out of here. I'm going to go rest this ankle. And get ready to conquer the world. I've still got to go to work with this shit. Fuck. But yeah, take a bump, guys. 5 years, man. Got much more to celebrate, guys. Much more to come down the lane. And take a bump, guys. We're out. Laters.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.